You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Acts 1, verse 1 through 12. For the privilege of SARS, we want to pause for just a minute to thank you. At the same time, to pray for grace as you take us aside from the cares of this life, that our heart and our mind for these few minutes may be concentrated upon the things that are eternal, that our affection may be upon heavenly things. Cleanse us now and sanctify us to these ends as the Holy Spirit energizes us according to your purpose. Thank you for attending this, Father, because we ask this grace here and now, this blessing for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen. To pull our thinking together, last week as we started this study, we made 3 points, and they're on the blackboard. Namely, that after the crucifixion and the resurrection, and during those 40 days that our Lord abode on earth, he did 3 things. He gave his apostles certain commandments. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And he taught them for 40 days concerning the things of the kingdom. Now, we touched upon the fact that he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs because they were to be eyewitnesses to a fact and not an old wives' tale. And for 40 days, on different occasions, he appeared to them and taught them during these 40 days concerning the things of the kingdom. We also read in Luke that he not only taught them for 40 days, but that he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Prior to that, there were many occasions where they did not understand. But on this occasion, he gave them understanding so that the mission as a witness concerning the resurrection and the hope of the kingdom would be clear wherever they went. Be no mistake about what they said. We also noted that our Lord in the days of his flesh was sent to none save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We also noted last week that just prior to his ascension, after his resurrection, he breathed on his apostles, said, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." So at least at this point in time, as far as the authority from Scripture was concerned, there was no place for you and I, because we had no part and the promises made unto Israel, except in the long-range view. And this is why he taught them for 40 days concerning the kingdom. Now, it's those commandments that we want to look at this morning that we mentioned that he did, one of the 3 things he did last week. One of the first is in the last chapter of Matthew, chapter 28. The last 2 verses. And I'm going to read from the Greek text, not just as you have in English. It isn't much different, but we need to be discussing this a little later on, so I want to read it right. "Go ye therefore and disciple all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now, in chapter 23, we learn something of the all things that he had commanded them. Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works. So that meant that as far as Israel, you see, the commands were to Israel. This had to do with the law. Turning now, if you will, to Mark chapter 16. Bear in mind, these commands were all given just prior to his ascension after the resurrection. Mark 16, that's the last chapter of Mark. Verse 15. He saith unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Luke chapter 24. Verse 47. Luke 24, beginning at verse 47, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. John 20. John 20, beginning at verse 21. Jesus said to them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And lastly, but not least, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, he addressed Peter. Because Peter was to be the spokesman for the 12. Matthew 16, verse 19. Matthew 16, verse 19. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of the heavens. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, because the authority and commands of Mark 16 have created a problem to a lot of theologians, inasmuch as the Mark 16, there were certain signs to follow them that believe. They were to cast out demons. They were to speak with another language, all languages. They could drink any deadly thing and it wouldn't hurt them. They could lay their hands on the sick. These signs were to follow them that believed. And they do follow all that believed throughout the whole 33 years of the book of Acts. Now, the failure of Christendom to recognize an administrational change at the conclusion of Acts has created a dilemma, inasmuch as they began, and I'm speaking of traditional Christendom, they began the administration of God at the second chapter of Acts when the Holy Spirit came down, not recognizing that the work was nothing new, but a continuation of what God had already started with our Lord himself, namely that he was sent to none save the lost sheep of Israel. And he told his 12 apostles the same thing. These authorities were given so that they could be a proper witness to the nation of Israel, because God always dealt with them in signs and miracles and wonders. The administration has been changed after the book of Acts, and we read, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, because of the dilemma of Mark 16, textual critics have claimed that those verses are not in the original text. We're dealing with a textual problem this morning in the Sunday school class. Now, here are the facts. There are some 3,000 manuscripts in full or in part. Some of it just fragmentary. Of those 3,000 manuscripts or more, 18 are noted as major manuscripts. 600 are called handwritten manuscripts. These titles are given to give them a place of authority. Now, of the 18 major manuscripts, two of the major manuscripts do not have the concluding verses in the book of Mark. 16 of the major manuscripts do have. The 600 handwriting manuscripts do have. And many of the fragmentary parts of manuscripts do have. That weight of evidence alone should suffice. However, we have even stronger evidence, namely, that all of the early church fathers from 100 A.D. through the next 300 years all quote from Mark 16, and their writings are older than the oldest manuscript we have today. So if they quoted from it, it's in evidence that they were in the manuscripts to begin with. Otherwise, they would have had nothing to quote from. Not only so, but the miracles that followed after those commands were given, if those commands were not given, they had no authority to do it. And yet they did in every case. There's not a single instance throughout the book of Acts where those commands are not carried out to the very letter. So much so that Paul was so weighted down with the miracle ministry that it began to infringe upon his speaking the word. And so he just sent the word out. He said, well, just send a piece of cloth in here, anything at all, and you'll be healed. A lot of radio preachers try and do that today. See? But you see, they ignore the context of who it's addressed to. And for why and what reason? Now, if Israel had responded as a nation, then the great kingdom that had been promised them would have come into play. They would have become a nation of priests to evangelize the Gentile nations. That was in the revealed plan of God. But since Israel rejected it, then the Apostle Paul is brought into the picture with a brand new revelation addressed to us poor Gentile dogs, called a mystery, a secret, something that was never made known before. You see? So at this point in time, God has placed the nation of Israel in abeyance and brought in the hidden purpose of God. And you and I are privileged to be sharers in this new inheritance, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, there's neither scythe and bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now let's look at Acts. Acts after having shown himself alive by many infallible proofs, after having given these commandments to the apostles, after having taught them to the things pertaining to the kingdom, then he said to them, remain here in Jerusalem, verse 4 and 5, until you be endued with on high by the Holy Spirit. Notice, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with, not the, but with Holy Spirit. No article. Now, after this was all said and done, as we made mention last week, they only had one question. So he had done an excellent job of teaching. You teach a man for 40 days, and not just a man, but a group of men for 40 days. When you get all through, you only got one question. That means you did a pretty good job. And the job there, the question they asked, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They did not say, will you restore the kingdom to Israel, but will you at this time? So he had taught them. They understood everything about the procedure. Our Lord did not say yes. No, he didn't say no. But he said, this authority is in the Father's hand, not for you to know, which implies a condition. And we'll be looking at that condition many, many times as we go through the book of Acts. It all turned, of course, in the final analysis, whether or no the nation of Israel would respond or reject. That's what it turned on. Now then, verse 8. After having dispelled all those things, he said, but you're going to wait here in Jerusalem. And when the Holy Spirit's come, you shall receive power. Now, this is not the word power that's in verse 7. The word power in verse 7 is really authority. Whereas the word power in verse 8, we get our English word dynamite from that. It's dunamis. It means something inherent, something within. Dynamite's explosive from within. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you. They will receive this power to energize them and what to do what? To be witnesses to concerning him, his resurrection, and the hope of the kingdom. They were to testify to these of these things. And they were to begin in Jerusalem. Now, the first seven chapters of the book, chapters 2 through verse 7, shows us that they were faithful in carrying this out. They never left the city of Jerusalem. Chapter 2 through verse chapter 7. The next step in the procedure to carry this out was to Judea and Samaria. Now bear in mind, they were sent to none save the lost sheep of Israel. So wherever they went, who do you think they were visiting? We'll see this very clearly as we get into the book. But God was to give every Jew on this earth at that time an opportunity to respond, so that they would be without any excuse whatsoever. It was to begin at Jerusalem, and they tarried there, and they stayed there through the first seven chapters of the book of Acts. Then they were to move out into Judea and Samaria. And in chapter 8, that's exactly what starts. And from chapter 8 through chapter 12, they cover the whole of Judea and all of Samaria. Now, Peter is the leader of that movement through the first two sections. But in the 10th chapter, rather 9th chapter of Acts, Paul was apprehended of God on the road to Damascus. We'll see this very plainly as we get into this. was set apart to prepare him as an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was never one of the 12. He was not one of the 12 apostles. He did not even qualify for it. We'll see that very clearly too. He was an apostle, but he was not one of the 12 apostles. He has no part in the kingdom. His part is our part. We'll see that too. But through the first two sections, the witness was carried out through the 12. Beginning in chapter 13, Paul is brought in then because of the rejection over and over again of the 12. Paul is brought in then to carry this ministry to the uttermost parts. And he does it from chapter 13 through chapter 28 until he arrives at Rome, which is the uttermost part. But always, as his manner was, look at the 17th chapter of Acts. This little phrase here shows what Paul's ministry was, although we'll be looking at it in every detail. But in the 17th chapter of Acts, you see the course of Paul's ministry. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, underscore that in your Bible, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. But at Thessalonica, like everywhere else, verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out of the people. So on. Everywhere Paul went, though, the first thing he did was to head for the Jewish synagogue. So Paul became the instrument of God to carry the word of God to the uttermost part, along at the same time offering the Gentile the same hope that Israel had. Not the hope that we have today, but the same hope that Israel had. They were grafted in to the real olive tree, which is Israel. The Gentile was grafted in. Now, all this is according to prophecy. It had been prophesied all through the Old Testament. The only distinction was that the Old Testament, the evangelization of Gentiles was to be done through the nation. But when when the 12 rejected the ministry, Paul was raised up to carry out what the nation should have done. Hence we read of Paul in the turn to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 15. We better read several verses here. It speaks of his resurrection. You can begin reading at verse 3. Paul is writing to this Gentile church at Corinth. He said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. Notice Paul does not identify himself as the 12. He said he was seen of the 12. And that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Now, that phrase, one born out of due time, is one word. It's an abortive birth, born ahead of time. You see, when God once again begins to deal with Israel as a nation, He's going to set aside 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe. And each one of them will be a pall to go to the Gentiles. Paul was like one born ahead of time. He became the instrument of God to the nation and the Gentile when the 12 apostles' work was rejected. He picked up the torch and carried the work on, beginning in the 13th chapter of Acts. And Paul then becomes the predominant minister, just as Peter had been the predominant minister through the first 12 chapters. Paul picks up the torch there and carries it clear through the rest of the book of Acts. And we'll be repeating this many, many times, so don't get tired of it. When Paul arrived at Rome, he called for the elders of Israel. And it says that he preached to them from early morning till late at night concerning the things of the kingdom, out of the law and the prophets. And it says when they could not agree among themselves, Paul quoted then the 6th chapter of Isaiah to them. You have eyes to see with, you will not see. You have ears to hear with, you will not hear. Therefore, be it known unto you that this salvation is now authorized to the Gentile, and that they will hear it. From that moment of time until the present, Israel as a nation has not been the channel of blessing. Up until that point in time, John 4:22 says salvation is of the Jew. They were the instruments of God to that end. But since the 20th chapter of Acts, it has been the Gentile nations who have been the channel of blessing to those whosoever will. That is a panoramic picture of what we're going to be looking at in detail all the way. The ministry, however, begins at Jerusalem, proceeding to Samaria and to Judah and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, at this point in time, in verse 9, while they're standing there looking at him on the Mount of Olives, we went up there on the Mount of Olives last summer. Back to the matter, we spent the night up there. And that's where our Lord left this planet. While they're just standing there talking, all of a sudden, he just... And they're standing there with their mouth open. I can see them. And they're there, notice. And while they look steadfastly toward heaven, and let's say you can look at them. You see, they're looking up. And while they're looking, it says, behold, there are two men stood by them in white apparel. We'll learn later that these two men are angelic beings. And they said to him, what are you fellas standing looking up like that for? This same Jesus. Not some spook, not something, not an idea, not somebody else, but this same Jesus. He's taken up you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. Just like you saw him go up, that's how he's coming down. And we read, it'll be like the lightning. Every eye shall see it. Only a few saw that. When he comes back, they'll all see it. You know, when the lightning strikes, no matter where you are, you can see it. And you'll see him coming back just like you went. They said, what are you standing up here gazing like this for? this same Jesus, which is taken up, shall also come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And then they return to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. You quite frequently see through Scripture that the Jew was not allowed to travel but just so far on the Sabbath. And if any question about how far that is, this settles it for once and for all. From the top of Mount Olive to the city walls of Jerusalem is approximately a mile. So that's as far as the Jew was allowed to travel on a Sabbath. The law forbade him to go beyond that. They just had enough room to get back into town for the night. Everything works just right on schedule and just right to the precise thing. You see, God never extends or lacks. It's always just perfect. See? Now, next week, we'll be dealing with what happened when they came back and went to the upper room. But now, to revive our thinking so that you get every point burned into your mind, because these are foundations that we're going to be building on, that we'll be looking at in detail as we go right straight through the book. That's why, when you finish the book of Acts, you'll be oriented to distinguish between the things that were in the revealed plan of God as opposed to the things that are in the hidden purpose of God. And if you don't understand the book of Acts, you won't make that distinction. You see? That's why this becomes one of the most vital parts of Scripture that you can find. It's the link between. You see? It's the book between, if you will, that puts everything in its proper category. If any of you have ever worked as a clerk anywhere, you know everything has to be put in its proper place. And if it isn't put in its proper place, and you have a customer that comes in and wants something, you can't ever find it. But the book of Acts does just that. It puts everything in Scripture its proper place. So that when you have to find out what God has said to you, you'll know where to turn. You'll know where to turn when God said something to somebody else. Now, many things that God said to other people in other places are apropos today. Hence, we're admonished to try the things that differ. In other words, we have a yardstick that we can measure that which is addressed to us and those things that are not addressed to us. When we read in other parts of Scriptures things that are apropos, then there's nothing in our Scriptures addressed to us that is contradictory. It all harmonizes. Otherwise, we have a contradiction. And that's why a lot of people say, well, nobody can understand the Bible. You know, it just contradicts itself. Well, it doesn't contradict it. Beloved, it is the most orderly thing that's ever been written. That's the problem. It's too orderly. And man is a disorderly person. You see? That's the beauty of this wonderful book. When we get all through, what we will find out is this: that Christ taught personally in the flesh for 3.5 years. And beginning in the book of Acts, we're going to begin to see what Christ taught, not from earth, but from heaven, energized through his Spirit into the men who became the channels whereby he worked. And to this very day, our people are being energized to the Spirit of God, not with a new revelation, but a revelation of the revelation that he gave from heaven to the apostles that we have recorded in the New Testament. So that everything that's said, whether in the days of his flesh or in the time of the period of Acts, points to one thing, and that's to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they were to be witnessed concerning him. Concerning him, his plan, as was revealed, concerning him as his hidden purpose is made known through the Apostle Paul. Thank you, Father, for this, another opportunity to rightly divide the Word of God. We pray that our efforts will not be in vain, but it will encourage everybody here to become a workman, to show themselves approved in your sight, that they too may be said of them that they are those who rightly divide the Word of God, that they are those who try the things that differ. They are those who believe what God has said to them, that we may be established and built up in the most holy faith. And if by chance there is somebody here who does not know Jesus Christ, may the Spirit of God give a spirit of restlessness to that one until he comes to rest his case in Christ. And this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.